Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the study session meeting for June 5th, 2018. The time right now is 7:03 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutterback, Hanford, Rasmussen, and Davis.
Thank you very much. And we did hear from Councilmember Camp a couple days ago that he would not be here this evening. I heard from Councilmember Gamble yesterday that he would most probably not be here this evening. So unless there is objection, we'll go ahead and consider them as excused absences. All right. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you please lead us in the roll?
I'm sorry, the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item we have on our agenda this evening is public comments, and I do have somebody here that would like to provide a public comment this evening. His name is Terry Hemmel.
Please come forward for Mr. Fowler to come.
Since he's still doing research, I would encourage you to come forward and share with council
now.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming this evening.
Hi, my name and address for the record.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Terry Emmel. I live at 152nd Street, 17856 152nd Street Southeast, a cul-de-sac, kind of over by the hospital there in the Frylands. So I've lived at this house for more than 20 years now. Tonight I come home to find that there's no parking signs in my cul-de-sac. There was no notification on this, there was no comment, there was no nothing. I just come home and then all of a sudden there's no parking signs. I have exactly one on-street parking spot in front of my house. I did have one on-street parking spot in front of my house, and now it's gone. I have a feeling now that my home value is going to go down, and then also, when I have people over, they need to go park somewhere else, not in the cul-de-sac here. On the way over here, I got here a little early, but I visited several 6 to 8 other cul-de-sacs in town. None of them had no parking signs on them. I request that these parking signs get removed in a timely manner.
Thank you. And just to update, Council, I know we've got a light agenda this evening, and I did meet with Mr. Emmel just before our meeting this evening. Mr. Feilberg came in, and they were discussing what the policy is that led to the signs being out there, so that's why Mr. Emmel made the comment or inquiry before he spoke. Should we wait for Mr. Feilberg? So Mr. Feilberg is going to go ahead and double-check the policy, and we'll get some answers back to you as soon as we have those answers. Mr. Feilberg, do you have anything to share right now?
No, I was looking, but I noticed it was time, so I can come back to me.
Perfect. Okay. So we'll, council members, we'll get back to you with, as well as to Mr. Emmel, with a response over the next day or two.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the city council this evening? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to council member reports. Are there any council member reports this evening? I do see Snohomish Health District, Board of Health vacancy. Council member Rasmussen, you used to be in that position. Do you want to talk a little bit about that briefly?
Sure. Well, technically, I still am.
Very well.
I guess about 2 weeks ago, I informed the health district staff that I was going to step away from the health board. Just my professional duties have just increased enough that I felt it was right time and give my more priority to my professional duties, my family, and then as well as focusing here on my council duties. So my resignation from the health, Snohomish County Board of Health is effective June 30th. Knowing that there's 5 cities that need to be able to appoint, and some of those cities only meet every couple weeks, so trying to get as much time as I can on that. And I do know of a couple of people that have shared interest, so hopefully they will formally put their names in with their councils, and we'll see those come across our desk here within the next couple weeks. So, but other than that, it's been great to serve and represent our 5 cities on the Board of Health and learn a lot. And look forward to continued partnership.
Sounds good. And we do thank you very much for your service in that capacity. It's been a real pleasure having you serve there. Are there any council members that would like to serve in that capacity? Okay. And I do see that you've plugged your light in. I'm sorry. My drink tonight should have been more caffeinated. Councilmember Scarborough.
Does it have to be somebody from the council, or can it be somebody from the community?
I believe it's got to be somebody from the legislative body or the mayor. So it would have to be one of you.
Yes.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
So to answer Councilmember Scarborough's point, at this point, based off our governing laws, it does have to be an elected official within that district. So the position I'm in represents Homish Monroe Sultan Gold Barn Index. And so it has to be an elected
council. From one of those four.
One of those five.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, part of the work plan that we've been working on is streamlining our governance within the health district. So it could be that down the road there's less board members or board members represented that aren't elected officials.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other councilmember reports this evening? We'll just go down the line. Councilmember Davis?
No.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Glad to see Sky River Park open, and that was a fun ribbon cutting ceremony was last week. So weather was far different than the groundbreaking, for sure. And then Relay for Life last weekend was a lot of fun. So great to join us and see everyone else.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, it was great to have the ribbon cutting ceremony. And then I attended the Take the Next Step luncheon yesterday. Saw Deborah and Councilman Cutback there. So that was good.
Very good. Thank you. Councilman Cutback.
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Scarborough, nothing today. Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to go ahead and move into staff and department reports. So for the staff members that are here. Mr. Swanson. Sorry, I was going to call you council member. Mr. Swanson.
We just had a follow-up meeting for the bus, the new vault and the road bus today. And so we're getting that lined up as far as just notifications and advertising to try to get the word out. And so we're formulating that plan, and we're hoping for an August 1st launch date is what we're pushing for right now. And so Snoqualmie Valley Transportation is gearing up, bringing on that driver, and then obviously there's some training that goes along with it and doing some dry runs on the route. And one of the ideas that we potentially had was a couple days before August 1st is a group of us pile on the bus and just start making stops and handing out flyers. That way we can get them kind of used to the bus line.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're
Mr. Faubert?
Nothing.
Okay. Were you able to find something from our earlier conversation from public comment? You came out with a piece of paper.
No, I gave you the request from the fire department.
Oh, okay.
That precipitated that posting.
Okay. All right. I just thought I'd check.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll come on up here for city administrator report.
Just a quick update, looking forward into the council agenda for next week on June 12th. We will be asking the council to sign consultant agreement with Pertit to begin phase one of the work for 191st Street. So that's exciting to get that moving along. Budget amendment, so that's ordinance coming back for final reading. Also, the map that is required with the attachment for the SOTA ordinance. We have a resolution, but there's also a map requirement. We are updating the traffic impact fees. Council has a policy of increasing those fees annually based upon the cost of construction. And finally, we've got an amendment to the park code. We had a gentleman come by who wanted to hand out some handbills in the park, and we realized that our park code was antiquated in that area, so we needed to do an update. Final reading or final acceptance of the Eagle plat as well will be happening. Mr. Swanson has an update on Worthington Heights. Did you want to
yes.
prepare that or present
yeah.
that to?
Absolutely. So on, I believe it was May 22nd, Ms. Carlson from the Trumbly Hill HOA came in and had some concerns with the Worthington Heights. They've renamed it Sweetbriar now, Platt. And so it was myself, Tom Gaffin, senior engineer with the city, and D.R. Horton, their representatives, and their engineer met on site with her, and it was extremely beneficial to meet out on site because you can actually point to something and talk about it. And so there was some confusion on what was permanent versus what was temporary, and they're stockpiling a lot of temporary dirt up there, and just explanation on the difference between what's cut as far as removal of existing earth and what's filled in board of existing earth. And the meeting actually went great. And so she was extremely satisfied with our response. We went down the list, she had her list, and we confirmed at the very end, you know, asked if we could answer all your questions, and she said yes, and she reported back to the HOA. And the main person in that meeting, and I believe why it went so well, was Tom Gaffin, and he just did an outstanding job translating a very complex topic into everyday language that people can understand. And so he was the one that really kind of led that, and he was the reason for the success of that meeting.
Thank you. Any questions? Councilmember Rasmussen, you did have your light pushed at one point. I didn't acknowledge it.
Just a question on the next end of the agenda. I noticed that we're meeting at the fire station come August. Is that just under remodel?
That's correct. We will provide additional reminders as we get closer.
Okay.
I also just wanted to bring to Council's attention, too, that on June 19th, we are having a study session that includes a discussion of school safety, and we will have Frederica Smith, our superintendent, and members of the board and her safety staff here for that meeting. So it'll be a joint conversation around what is it the school district is doing now to ensure student safety and faculty safety, and then a conversation around whether or not there's anything additional that the city wants to participate in.
All right, thank you. So on Monroe this week, just some of the notes there from last week. First, just thank you again, Council, for supporting the Sky River playground equipment. It was, like the council members pointed out, is a really awesome turnout. I think there were about 40 kids that were there specifically for the ribbon cutting, and probably another 40 that were out there playing at the same time. And despite the large scissors and lots of kids, nobody was injured. The next item then, just to point out, please note that there's some information there about our embedded social worker program. Thank you to the Snohomish County Human Services Department for their grant opportunity that's helping to reimburse for some expenses associated with that program to help people. Also, you'll note in Monroe this week that Sergeant Irving has a new title. It's now Interim Deputy Chief Irving. He'll be serving in that position while we are going through the recruitment process for the police chief. And then a note on that, I will be reviewing some of the applications that have come in. I believe it's the 21st or so, or 22nd of June. And we will be getting back to you about the interview process and everything after we've had a chance to go through that batch and make certain that we've got a few viable candidates to move forward. And I think that's it. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to our discussion items. Again, this is a study session this evening, so the discussion items come on the tail end of how we usually finish our regular meetings. So we're going to move on to Councilmember Scarborough.
Did I miss the library update?
That is just in your council agenda packet this evening, and it is just the summary that the city receives on an annual basis of how much managing the Monroe Library costs each year. Just as a side note, I did a quick kind of back of the napkin analysis to see whether or not we were contributing more in the way of funding than we're getting back in services, and it's actually the opposite of that. We're actually receiving more services than we're providing in funding, just from a tax perspective.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move on then to, thank you, we're going to move on to discussion item number one. This is AB 18130, Western Washington University Sustainable Communities Program. Ms. Knight.
Thank you very much, and I just want to take a moment before we get started to introduce Lindsay McDonald. So Lindsay, you want to raise your, she is the program coordinator for the Western Washington University Sustainable Communities Program, and she would be the technical expert to answer any of your questions about that specific program. What I'm going to do is just provide a brief overview of the program itself and then talk about the two proposals that we've been discussing with Western Washington University. And then what we're looking for from the City Council this evening is feedback on two things, really. First is whether or not you're interested in participating in the program, because there is a cost associated with participation. And then two, whether or not you think the two proposals that staff is recommending, if those are projects that you think are worthy of working on with the Western Washington students and faculty. So in just in brief, the program itself has been going on for probably 3 to 4 years. Is that about right? I actually participated in the program when I worked at the city of Stanwood. Initially, when we made our first proposal to the program when I was at Stanwood, we weren't selected that year, so we made a second proposal the following year, and we were accepted at that point. So it is something that the school does annually. And the way that the program works is that it offers students an opportunity to work on real-world problems with the community within an hour and a half's drive of Western Washington University. So we're just right at the edge of that. And they actually provide cross-class collaboration. So you don't just work with a single class, for example, urban planning, but you actually can work with urban planners and the GIS staff and communication staff. So it really offers an opportunity to work with multiple groups of students that are pursuing kind of multiple degrees, which is, I think, interesting. It also engages your community in a way that you normally wouldn't see if you were just using city staff, because you have students involved. And so people love to come out and hear what students are working on and then participate in programs. So we're proposing two different projects. The first project that we're proposing is to move forward on the, and it says US 2, it is US 2 bypass right-of-way trail. And that is the section of trail that goes from Chain Lake Road all the way over to 179th Street. And we have, at the city, been working with WSDOT to secure access to that right-of-way for a trail. And what WSDOT has been asking in return, though, is for a preliminary layout of what that design would look like in order to work up the easement language that they need to run through their process. So what we're proposing is to use the students from Western Washington University to come out and do a reconnaissance of that trail, so using their survey and GIS staff, also to identify the wetland areas, so those are the areas that we need to avoid. They would also then provide the opportunity for public outreach to the neighborhoods to the north for those trail access points, so we could identify where those trail access points would be. So that would allow us then to have a deliverable that we could take back to WSDOT and work with them in order to secure access to that right-of-way. In my mind, we would then be looking next to work to actually come out and survey that entire trail system at some time in the future. But this would be the first phase and kind of at least get the conversation started with both WSDOT and the neighbors and the community about what that trail alignment would look like. So that's the first project proposal. Now, that project would involve, I think, four to five classes and cost somewhere between, what did I write on here, $32,000 to $40,000. So it's about $7,000 per class is about what you're looking at in a price range for that. The second project that we are proposing is what we're calling the Heritage Tourism Program. And this is actually coming out of some of the work that was done with the Economic Development Advisory Board. So we had a number of our previous plans, the Economic Development Plan and the Downtown Revitalization Plan, that talked about using our downtown as a way to attract tourists. And so in evaluating what it takes to actually get to a heritage tourism program, really the first step is inventorying what you have. And so when we went out to the department of archaeology and historic preservation, what we discovered is that the majority of our historic buildings are not entered into the state's inventory. And so we really need to start with that inventory list. And so we would be using the students from Western Washington University to do what's called a reconnaissance level inventory of those historic structures. We also then would be working with a class to identify who are the potential visitors that would come out for a heritage tourism program, so who would we be marketing to, and then how would we put together some of those marketing programs or plans. So again, kind of working with a group of students to pull together a project that we would have a specific deliverable for at the end. And that project is a little bit less expensive because it involves fewer students. In talking to Lindsay about the program, the programs actually start in the fall when the students come back to school, and they go through then into the spring. So the projects are wrapping up just about in the May-June time frame. And so because we haven't included either one of these projects in our city budget, Western Washington University would be willing to postpone the first billing until 2019. So we could start the work in 2018 if the council is committed to moving forward on one or both of these projects, but then our billing cycle wouldn't begin until the new budget year. So that's really all I have as far as kind of the brief overview of the project, and I'm available, as Lindsay is, to answer any questions that you might have.
Lindsay, do you have anything to add?
I think that was a great summary. I'm happy to speak to kind of the logistics of how the program works if there are questions.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Scarborough.
When you talk about a trail, you're talking about a paved trail?
It would be soft surface.
When we talk about, and that's close to 40K.
Right, and that's just
paid over how long a time?
So that would be paid over then the first three quarter, or the first half of 2019.
Okay. Inventory list of historic structures 21 to 28K. And all of this has not been budgeted for yet?
Has not been budgeted in 2018.
Okay, have we ever done this before here?
Not at the city of Monroe.
And what cities have done it?
So, could you please come up to the microphone?
Yes.
And if you could state your first and last name for the record, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Lindsay McDonald, and this is the second full, we're finishing the second full year of the program right now, and the first year was the City of Edmonds, and currently we're wrapping up our work with City of Stanwood, and then also Skagit County.
And did you work with this program in Stanwood?
I got the program started, but I left Stanwood in August, and the work began after I left in September.
So the selling point is that it's about $7,000 a piece for a student. There's four students, it comes at four times that.
Ms. McDonald, just stay at the podium if you're okay with it.
Are these figures predicated on X number of students giving us a year's worth of work to complete these two projects?
Good question. So it's not a per student number. It's really per project, and oftentimes it's full courses, right? So thinking about inventory work and kind of being out in the field and figuring out what are those historical structures, there may be 35 students who come for a day and do that work. And 7,000 per project is really just an estimate. You know, part of the process will be a back and forth scoping of what are the actual costs. What does it cost to get students here? Where's the equipment coming from that they're using? There's a faculty incentive for engaging in this kind of work. So there are a number of pieces that go into it, but it's really not for students. The model is really designed to support full courses and engaging. So there's kind of this collective impact.
I guess I don't understand the word courses. Is this a course that a college student takes for credit?
Yeah, so that's another good question. So essentially, you know, as part of a degree program, you know, students are required to take however many courses to graduate. And what universities are really transitioning toward is, you know, the students learn the theory in the first 3 years of their degree. And then to be really marketable out in the world, having real-world experience, taking the theory and putting it into practice is really valuable. And not to mention, you know, these students are in their courses learning from these faculty experts who are really leading the field in wetland mitigation, for example. And so the value is in bringing these students as part of their quarter-long course, you know, whether it's for a field trip or, you know, putting together a report on the existing conditions or the potential for this trail, that those deliverables can look really different, but all is part of course requirements that students are engaged in.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, I love it when we can partner up with an organization or an educational organization and provide a program like this, so I appreciate that. A couple questions. Do you know what the cost would be if we were to do this work on our own?
I don't know the cost of what it would be if we were to do it on our own.
Okay.
I would have to estimate if we hired a consultant to come out and do this work for us. Gosh, it would probably run in the $75,000 to $100,000 range.
That's what I was thinking, that we are actually, that's why I think this is a win-win, is we are giving kids an educational opportunity to have hands-on experience, plus we are getting a product that we can use probably at a reduced price if we went out to a consultant to get this product.
Right, I think the key there is that if we decide to move in this direction, the product has a shelf life, and so in starting off on this project, you're in some way committing then to making this a priority and continuing on with it.
Yeah.
And this, neither one of these projects have been on your top of the to-do list. So
right.
I think that's really a question for council that you
right.
need to answer is, are these the right projects? And if they're not, we can certainly come back next year and apply and pick something off the list that was sooner. It's just the timing for us this year wasn't what it would normally be.
Right. And that was my next question about the bypass, what the total cost of, so the next steps that would come after this, and how good is this product, how long it is, that it's, like you said, the shelf life. So if we were to start this, how long do we have to finish, and what would be the cost of the remainder of the project?
I would say, you know, typically your soft costs run you 20% of your total cost. And so again, I'd be, you know, looking over at Mr. Feilberg, just to say in the millions, you know, probably by the time you get done with it, $2 million.
So for just the bypass one?
Yeah, for just the bypass.
Okay.
And so you're probably going to, if you get this work product back, you're still going to have to hire a consulting firm that's going to come out and actually come back and do, you know, some more in-depth reconnaissance. But this work will be good for a start because you'll know kind of where you need to begin. It's very, very similar, actually, to the scope of work that you're going to be seeing next week on 191st Street, where you're doing a lot of preliminary work early
right.
on. But there's geotech work that's going to need to be done, and a true wetland reconnaissance that's going to need to be completed. So there are a lot more steps to do to get this project moving forward.
So how good is the shelf life on this project?
Probably 2 years.
Okay, so
3 years.
We're looking at, if we did this, shelf life of 2 years, we would have to find a way to fund possibly $2 million to finish the project to its conclusion.
Yeah, one option for you might be to break it up into phases, right? And so you'll do a phase that goes from Chain Lake Road to your first access point, right? And you'll just focus on doing that. And that would be one way to bring down the cost significantly.
Right.
You're already doing work on 191st Street that's using, you know, a portion of that right of way. So
right.
you're going to have additional information coming out of that.
Right. Okay. And then with the second project, sounds like going out and doing an inventory of historical buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So do we involve the business owners in this? Do they, I could foresee that some business owners might not want their building to be deemed a historical building. And so
Yeah, just to be clear, we're not doing anything historical.
Okay.
All we're doing is collecting information about the year that the building was constructed, the types of materials that were used to construct it at the time, its current condition, and that information goes into what's called the Wizard Program that's managed by the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation. It doesn't impede anybody's ability to use any kind of structures.
Okay. And then what would be the shelf life? That sounds like a longer shelf life.
Much longer shelf life.
Than the first one. And so do you know what the cost would be to complete that program, to do the marketing, to develop a heritage tourism program? What would that?
Significantly less. So you're probably looking at more like the $50,000 range.
Okay, for that one. $50,000 after we invest in, I think it was like 20-something for that one.
Yeah, and that's probably high even now that I think about it. I'm thinking, well, what does that really involve, right? It's some, you know, some more marketing. Maybe we put something in the Choose Monroe magazine. We add it to our website. We, you know, coordinate with the Historic Society. So maybe closer to 25.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just not that much.
Yeah. The only thing that pulls me up on this, I love the partnership, and I think it's a great program. What concerns me is not having a plan for, especially the first one with the shelf life, and not having this in our plans before. That was a project we were working on, so finding the $2 million. I think it's an important project. I think that residents would love to have a trail system put back in there, so I see the value in that. So I think I'm just curious what other council members think. So that's it for right now.
I should add just one note. The WSDOT is currently open to the idea of using that right-of-way.
Right.
And so this is an opportunity to at least put put a line on a map.
On the ground.
Exactly. Yeah. So that opportunity may not be lost sometime. Exactly.
Right.
Might not be lost in the future. And having the students involved in it obviously brings a lot more attention to it.
Sure.
And so funding through the state legislature and other funding sources that otherwise might not be available to us, having the student participation makes a big difference. So I know it sounds like a much bigger project, but I think timing on this project is more important than others, just for that reason.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. When I read through this, I thought this is great. Doing what Councilmember Cutback said, the partnership with the one of our local universities and the students, and definitely seems like a win-win. You touched on some of the financial pieces of it, which I had questions on. I think my big concern right now, after what I've just heard, is, you know, this report that will eventually get in the end from the students as part of this partnership. We're taken to the WSDOT as part of kind of the first step of this project. My concern is WSDOT willing to? Is this a report that they would find credible? As opposed to paying a professional third-party consultant that's been doing this for years versus a university. And so I just want to make sure that we're not going to spend $32,000 on this and get this report that the DOT is going to say, no, you need to go through a third party with X credentials before we'll review it or accept it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I think that one of the first things we're going to be doing is bringing in the faculty and WSDOT and talking about exactly what it is that they need in order to provide that level of expertise,
okay.
You know, enough to get us to that first step, which is here's the trail alignment that WSDOT was asking for. It avoids wetlands, it avoids steep slopes, right? It's got the general alignment that we want. What it doesn't have is, you know, what does the ground underneath look like? So there won't be a geotech report, but that would be something that we'd be coming back then in the next step and wanting to pursue, is that additional level of detail.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that our plan is to have WSDOT involved in it so that they kind of have that saying and saying, yeah. So there would be no argument whether they would be accepted or not. And then I'm just curious, the $32,000 or $7,000 per quarter, I mean, what is that? What is that paid for necessarily? Is it, we're paying that to the school, correct? And is this strictly like supplies or, you know, kind of, I understand that part of it.
Yeah, sure. So let me see if I can get the list here. So it's transportation to get to and from this place for anything that requires on-the-ground work. There's a faculty stipend for supporting this kind of above and beyond support of real-world work. It does cover my coordination time. You know, a lot of my work is really doing that scoping to make sure that, you know, I'm really hearing your needs, and the faculty are really speaking to those needs in the courses that they're delivering with our students. And I think to speak to your last point, I would really think of these end deliverables not as reports that have student names on them, but reports that have faculty names on them. That there's that level of oversight that I think adds credibility in a way that's really different than a student intern, for example. There's kind of the marketing and communication associated with these projects. So, print materials to get general public to the events, for example. And I'd be happy to provide kind of a detailed breakdown of costs if that would be helpful too.
No, it gives me a good sense, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Great questions, everyone. And you asked to provide direction. I feel good about it. I like the idea of postponing the funds until next year's budget.
So, councilmembers, I am looking for direction. Is there, for the amount, again, you're balancing the amount. We've got two projects that are being proposed. Certainly we could look at, for example, the trail, reducing that to a certain phase. We do need to get some sort of direction. What's council's direction then? Both projects, do you want us to target a certain budget amount for one of the projects, both projects? Councilmember Scarborough.
If I look at the two, I'm inclined to support the second one more than the first from this perspective. It's less money and it has a longer shelf life. I'm concerned with the trail. We spent $40,000 and we don't do something with the information in 2 years. I understand it's like we got to start over. If I'm wrong, correct me. So those are my thoughts, and I'll listen to what everybody else might think.
Okay, why don't we go down the line? Councilmember Cutterback?
I'm in favor of doing both because I think the opportunity for the trails would be great, and but I understand the shelf life. So I would like to see also maybe a plan going, how can we continue this work? Is it a phase work? Is there funding out there to maybe continue the next phase? And because I would love to see that project completed within the timeline of the shelf if it's 2 years. So that would be great. So I'm in favor of both, but I'd like to see a timeline and a total cost of the first project.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Hanford, you're both?
I concur.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen?
And we can get a dedicated trail. Intrigued, so
okay.
For them both.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
And I support both of them also. And I agree with what you said about that. The timing on the first one is good. So I think we should take advantage of that.
Okay.
And I'm not, it's more, and it's a cost, but I'm not. I mean, when she said a couple million dollars, I get a little nervous. But
yeah.
But the timing is good and everything else. And if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. It was still a good investment, and we've got a pretty good idea. And we'll have a product. We'll have a product that we can either go back into and revisit and update later on, we'll have some idea of what we're working with, or a better idea at least. So it's not wasted, and I love the whole program. It's valuable in that respect too, and I would like to be a part of that. I think, you know, as a city, I would like to be a part of that. So there's value in that too. So I favor both of them actually. So
sounds good.
We go with that.
Thank you, mm-hmm. Councilmember Starber.
I value them both too, so don't get me wrong. My question now becomes, at a $2 million price tag, or $1 to $2, you know, we're looking at Blueberry, we're looking at 191st, we're looking at other things around town that cost a significant amount of money. Does this take money away from those projects, or are we going to try and do them all?
It's a very good question. Yeah, that's part of what the EDAP is bringing forward, is just, and part of what I understand has been part of their conversation, is how do you prioritize these? What is the vision in terms of prioritizing all of these different projects that we want to do with the resources that we have available? One of the things that I see is that for what could be a $40,000 or so expenditure, and that also takes away from something else, right? You've got opportunity costs for that $40,000 that you can be using just in fund balance or for something else. But for that work, while you've got students that are being able to grow their education and their skills, we're at least getting some information. And whether it's good for 2 years or it's good for five, it gives us that opportunity to think what if and then how do we prioritize this. Even if the wetland conditions change over a period of time, it allows you to say, okay, this is what we talked about before 5 years ago. This information is still good. These are the connection points in the neighborhoods and whatnot. So I don't think that the information would be something that would be tossed at the end of 5 years. You might need to redo delineation reports or something, but I think there's some value to it, if nothing else, from a high-level recon.
I'm not disputing the value of it. I'm disputing where the money is going to come.
Yeah, and it's perfectly... Yeah. Councilor Server, I agree with you. There are times where somebody will ask you, can we get this preliminary study done? And it's $50,000 or $100,000, and then the next question is, can we go ahead and do this preliminary design? You know, and pretty soon you're up into a $5 million project that starts off with a $50,000 conceptual idea. Yes, I intended to be redundant there, so I completely understand. This will give you a little bit more information to help you make that decision in the future as to how it prioritizes and how it pays. Those are some of my thoughts. So I'm understanding there's consensus for both. Now, I'm going to add one more thing. The thought is to go to 179th. Is there any reason why we couldn't, at least as part of the scoping, think about going from 179th westward to connect the foothills?
To connect to where?
To the foothills. Because remember, the Highway 2 bypass, a lot of us think about the area behind Walmart going to 191st, but it goes as far west as the foothills. So what is the route that we're doing again? Is it just to 191st? Why do I think you said that it was farther? It's just chain link to 191st.
Chain link to 179th.
Yeah, 179th, that's what I thought. Okay. Would council be okay with us discussing connecting the whole city on the north side rather than just half the city? Councilmember Hanford.
Definitely, especially since the 191st construction and everything's going to be going on, or planning's going to be going on, so it makes sense to be planning the trail at the same time.
Sorry, I was...
That's right.
Was that a yes?
That was a no. No, never.
Yeah,
that was a yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's okay.
Does anybody else have issue with us at least scoping that out and seeing what the cost would be? And then I would imagine there would be a contract that would come forward for further consideration.
Yes, then that's what we're asking for tonight, is just, are you good with it conceptually? And if so, then we'll be back.
Right.
Ms. McDonald and I and staff will be working on a more refined scope of work and a more refined cost estimate. And that's what we'll return. But didn't want to move past this point without getting you on board first.
Okay. Any objection to at least scoping out separately what 179th to connecting the foothills would be? Okay, so we'll make certain we've got that as part of sort of an alternative B, so that we can see what that looks like also, and you can prioritize it accordingly. Ms. McDonald, thank you very much for coming down this evening. And I'm excited about this opportunity myself.
So are we at Western.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on, thank you again, Council, and thank you, Ms. Knight. All right, we do have a need for an executive session this evening. This is related to property acquisition. We're going to go into executive session. I'm going to start with approximately 5 minutes. The citation is RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection B. Again, property acquisition. We're going into executive session for 5 minutes with a potential for action, if nothing else, to adjourn following exec session. Thank you. All right. Wow, that was loud. We are back in session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Is Councilmember Scarborough still here?
I don't know where he
is. He's in the restroom.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
We have a quorum.
Yes, we do. So we're going to go ahead and vote. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 4-0. Please let the record show that Councilmember Scarborough was out of council when the vote was taken. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We are adjourned.